Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Got one verse here I'm going to highlight in your mind this morning, and we're going to get the thought from. Verse 14. It says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." First of all, I want us to think about that word landmark. And that is the word, the thought that's on my heart this morning. But we'll start with what is a landmark? What is that talking about? For those of us that don't know, landmark, it's a border. It is a marking of a border, a boundary, a coast or a limit. You think of maybe how landmarks are put down on properties. Many of you own land. I do not own a chunk of land or anything, but I know on land you have property lines, and a lot of times there'll be some kind of a post, a T-post, or maybe a flag, or some kind of mark that's showing this is where my property line ends and where my neighbor's begins. And you think of how important that marking is as far as properties go. You know, if that was removed, then there would be confusion as to what all land that I own. If I owned an acre and that mark was removed, you know, I could say, well, this is my land, and it be an acre and a half, and I say, well, this is how much land I got, and I'd be dead wrong. And, you know, maybe that causes an argument with your neighbor. And you think of the importance of that marking of a property. That's something that can get you in trouble if you remove that marking. If you even cross over into somebody else's territory whenever you know you're not supposed to be in that territory. You think about no trespassing signs. We see those pretty frequently. You think of even fences that are put up. And we know what those are for. They're important. They're important to have, to make sure they're still there, and to know what it's there for. Even children know. You go to the zoo, you see a lion or a tiger. They're not just going to have them roaming around on the sidewalks and in the open. They have them fenced in, and that fence is important because it creates a boundary. You cannot go within this distance of this animal, and even children know this. So we know the importance of a marking, a landmark, some sort of boundary is what this is talking about. It's very important. It says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark." That applies to the church as well. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The Bible tells us not to just heed the landmark, not to just look at it and say, you know, well, that's important, I know what that means. But also, don't get rid of it. It needs to stay there. It's important that that landmark stays there for our own good. Yet, you look around and landmarks are being removed. There's things being dug up. There's boundaries being crossed in today's day. With God's children, there's lines being crossed that don't need to be crossed. There's things being allowed in. There's properties being trespassed on that it don't need to happen. Lines are being blurred. So many boundaries are just being crossed in the lives of Christians. You think about the homes today. There's a lot of things that a lot of boundaries that are being taken away for the home. You think about what all goes on in the home, and in a godly home, there should be boundaries. There should be places where we say no to, things we say no to, places where we put up a stop sign and say, no, we're not going to allow this, we're not going to have this. And you think about raising children, having children in your life, you have to set up boundaries, don't you? Don't run in the house. Don't throw the ball in the house. Don't do certain things, and you got to tell them from a young age. This is something that I work on with my nephews very often. When they come to church with us, they think it's time to play a lot of times. And I have to tell them constantly, do not run in the church house. Do not run in the church house. Do not run in the church house. And that, even something as small as that, is that's important this morning. You say, how so? What's wrong with a little kid running down the aisles? This is the Lord's house. And it's as simple as this. It needs to be respected this morning. God's house needs to be respected. You say, this building is not the church. I'm aware of that. But this church building was dedicated for the Lord's service when it was built. It was dedicated to be used for the purpose of us, God's church meeting and worshiping. Therefore, it needs to be respected because we're in the presence of God. And something as small as that, that's the type of lines that's being blurred. Even something as small as that, those boundaries still need to be set this morning. They still do. But you see lines being blurred, you see boundaries being taken up, landmarks being removed. The Scripture goes on to say, same verse, it says, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance. The idea of passing down an inheritance. You think of maybe your parents or your grandparents maybe passed down something to you. If it was something as simple as a gun, maybe they passed down that old truck Daddy used to drive, or maybe a piece of land that they had in their name, they passed it down to you. What's the purpose of that? Well, they're looking out for you. They want to give you something good. They want to bless you with something. They want to be a blessing to you by giving you an inheritance. And you think of how maybe a lot of times a certain family member passes on and goes to be with the Lord, and the family gathers up and they go to arguing. Boy, they say, well, this one's mine. This that Daddy had was mine. That shotgun belongs to me. He said that I could have it. Well, he said I could have it. And mama's kitchen supplies and maybe this china cabinet that mama had, that belongs to me. No, that belongs to me. And you say, well, it's not that important. It is, and we all know it. We all know that these things are important because a lot of times people argue about it. And so we know the importance of an inheritance. Even if it's something simple, I think about I'm going to get into the meat of the message here in just a minute. I might be a little long-winded this morning. I don't know yet, but y'all bear with me. Me and Daddy were out working this week, and y'all know we do all kinds of landscaping, and it seemed like we had the worst situation of pulling weeds about that I've ever experienced this week. And we had to use some garden hose to get these weeds up. It was almost like carpet. And we had one hoe with us, and I said, we need another hoe. We need another garden hoe. We need another one so we can both be getting after this. And my sister lives right down the road, and Daddy told me, he said, call your sister and see if she had one. And I went over there, and she said, yes, it's down in the shed down there. And I pulled it out. I said, this thing is ancient. I said, I hadn't seen one like this. It don't look like the one I got. This hoe is old. It's heavier. It's a different type of metal. It's the old wooden handle. Just, you could tell that thing's been around for a while. And she just laughed. She said, that was Caleb's granny's. She said, please bring it back. You think it's something that simple? It's just a garden hoe. But that's special. Even if you say, well, it's not really a blessing to inherit a garden hoe, but it's special, ain't it? And I say all that to bring this in. We know the importance of an inheritance. But it says, they which they of old time have said, in thine inheritance, those that have gone on to be with the Lord, have set some things down for our benefit.
Yep.
They have passed some things down based on the Word of God, based on the way that God designed things. They passed it down, and we need to take those things seriously. It's special. It's important. It's there for our blessing. It's there for our benefit. It's there for our to be a help to us. But you see so many of those things being removed nowadays. Why? It seems like everywhere you look, there's so many things being changed. Whenever we know that God's true people throughout the ages, they've tried to pass on to generation and set things up in the church. And you think about, I've mentioned this several times, we have children, a few children in the church, and how they are the future of 21st Street Baptist Church. They're the future. I hate to be the bearer of bad news this morning, but we're all going to die someday. We're all going to go on to be with the Lord someday. And so the ones that are still here, they're going to be the future one day. So it's important that on the other side of things, it's important that we, as the last generation, pass on to the next generation that inheritance, those things that are important. We instill those boundaries, those landmarks, and we teach them, do not remove those landmarks. They're there for your good. They're there to no doubt contain the truths and the doctrines that we believe in this church. They're there for your good, for your benefit. They're not to be removed. There's a reason that we're called Landmark Missionary Baptists. There's a reason for that. It's not just something that sounded good on the sign. It's not something that just one of us come up with and said, hey, I like the sound of that. That's catchy. That'll bring in more people. No. There's a reason we're called Landmark Missionary Baptist. It's because our past great church members, those pillars of the church that have gone on before us, they have put down boundaries in order, put down landmarks in order for truth to continue to be taught and preached today. In order for right and wrong to still be black and white. You know, the reason we're called Landmark Missionary Baptists is because, well, people, men, worldly people, try to blur lines a little more and change things a little more. And how do you think so many religions came to be? You go back to whenever the church, whenever God's church was established, it was the church. There wasn't 300 different flavors and religions. It was the church. It was God's people. But now you see so many different religions. It's because, you know, maybe one man at a certain time said, well, I don't really like how this sounds. I'm going to go start my own thing and I'm going to go past the landmark into this different territory and I'm going to set up my own thing. And so therefore, throughout time, we've had to establish the fact that we set landmarks. We contain, we set boundaries. We're called Landmark Baptist, Landmark Missionary Baptist for that reason. But you see that right and wrong and so many lines are being blurred and it's not just plain and simple anymore. It's not just right and wrong anymore. It's not just black and white anymore. You know, used to, you could read, as a child, you could read a hero comic book, maybe Superman or Spider-Man. You could read that comic story or maybe watch that cartoon of the hero and the villain. There was good guys and there was bad guys. It was plain and simple. At the end of the day, the good guy beat the bad guy and it ended that way. Today you can't even see a fictional cartoon movie. just some made up movie. You can't even watch a movie where even the good guys got a little bad twisted in. Even the good guys got a rough story. You think about, and I'm going to go into this just a little bit. I know we all know what I'm about to talk about. None of us, I don't believe, are really ignorant to it altogether. But you think about all these superhero movies, these Marvel movies. I believe y'all know what I'm talking about. You got Superman and Iron Man and all these things. And those are supposed to be kids' movies. I mean, it originated from those comic books that I talked about. And those are supposed to be for kids. But now you watch it today. What is the hero in a kid's eyes nowadays? Well, usually it's some rough character that did time in prison and or something of that nature. You know, maybe he had some background and some bad background. He's not all good, but you know, at the end of the day, he has good intentions and he's just better than the bad guy. You see that even good and bad and what's being taught to children nowadays is there's really no good and bad. There's really no black and white. There's no line in between it. Those lines are being blurred. There's right and there's wrong. There's boundaries that need to be set. There's landmarks that need to be put down. If they've been taken up, we need to put them back down. We need to look to the Word. We need to look to God. See what it says. Lord, how do we approach this? What does your Word say about this? How would your Spirit lead us about this? And then we put down that landmark that's been taken up. Or we just go back to it. Cross back over that line. Heed that landmark. Don't remove it. It was there for a reason. It's been put there for a reason. If you've lived somewhere on a piece of land long enough, we talked about this already, but you have a property, say you have an acre of land, and you say, I know where my property line is. I remember whenever I moved here, I walked it out, they walked it out with me, and there was a clear marking of where it is. I know where my property line is. But then you have a neighbor that says, well, I think you're wrong. And maybe you debate a little bit. And I know, again, I don't really own any property. We rent at the moment. But I know several people that have had arguments with people about where their property line is. A lot of times that neighbor might come up and try to debate where your line ends and where theirs begins. But how do you settle the issue? You can just sit there and argue all day till you blew in the face, but there is a certain way, there's a specific way where you say, you know what, here's how we find out right here who's right and who's wrong. How do you do that? You go back to the old landmark. That marking that was put down, that symbol, whatever it was, that post, that flag that was put down, and a lot of times you might have to get somebody to come out and survey or whatever you call it, look over the land and re-determine that property line. But there's a way to do it. You got to find that landmark. How do we find who's right in the church? You see so much opinions and so many different things going on, so many changes being made. How do we continue to see what's right and what's wrong? Keep looking at those landmarks, going back to them. Daddy told me this story yesterday. I'm going to steal it from him. I thought it was cool. He told me about a book that he read, and we discussed a lot of the thoughts that we have, and I told him about this thought that I had, and we got talking about this book that he read, and it was this guy and his children, I believe. They went on some kind of kayak tour or something like that in Alaska. And they come upon this big piece of land. And the guy asked them, you know, y'all want to go see some grizzly bears? Well, sure, yes, that'd be awesome. And so they pull up to the land, and the man gets out, and he starts walking, and he walks all. It looks like there's this beautiful valley, this beautiful piece of land or meadow or whatever you want to call it, with flowers and just beauty. And he walks off, he starts walking, and he sinks down in mush, just a muddy hole. And the guide says, "Let me help you." He says, "You got to follow me. You got to follow me. I know where we got to go." And from what I understand, they come to this path in the middle of this big old meadow where everything's grown up and beautiful, but there's this path that's been stomped down and hardened and well established. And there's thousands and thousands of bear prints. And you can see a big bear print and a little bear print inside of it. And the man told him, he said, that's hundreds and years of bears walking where they knew that path was established. And they taught the next ones to walk on that same path and so on and so forth. That's amazing. Who taught that bear to do that? Well, God designed the bear. God created that bear. And they know to follow that path that their ancestor bears had created and walked on. And they follow that path. But if they go to the left or to the right and they try to go their own way and say, "Well, I don't really like this path anymore. It's kind of boring. It's kind of old. It's been here long enough. I'm going to go my own way." And they step off this way, they're going to get stuck in the mud. They're going to get stuck. Today, I'm here to tell you, there's a certain path we got to follow. We don't get to decide which way we're going to go on our own. We don't get to get into a little debate with somebody. We don't get to get our feelings hurt and say, "You know what? Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to go my way." You don't get to do that this morning. You might try it, but you're going to get stuck in the mud. There's a certain way that we go. There's a certain path that we follow. There's boundaries. There's rules. There's truth. And there's false things that are being brought up. But there's truth, and that's what we need to follow. Today's day, there's lines being blurred. There's issues being debated in the church. How do we find what's right? We look to the old path. We look to that old path. A lot of times that path hadn't been followed in a long time. Maybe it's grown up. Weeds growing up through it. Vegetation starting to grow back over it. Junk crowding it. What do we need to do? We need to start cleaning out that path again. A lot of times whenever you go to find where your property line is again, you know, it's kind of growed up around where that marking is. You say, "It's hard to see because, you know, it's been let go. It's been growed up. It's been forgotten about." What do you need to do? Well, take a weed eater, a machete, a bush hog, whatever, and clean up around it where it can be seen, where it can be followed, where it can be heeded, where it can be known. That's what we need to do in today's day. Go back to that old landmark. Clean up around it if we got to. Go back to that old path. They're necessary. Those landmarks are so necessary. Why? Because if we didn't have them, there's no telling where we'd be. Everybody's got their own opinion. If we didn't have those set boundaries, we'd all just be throwing up opinions. "Well, I think we should do this." I think you're wrong. I think we should do this. It'd be a mess, wouldn't it? I'm thankful for landmarks. I'm thankful we have landmark in our name. People that look at that, I don't know, they might study it, but if they study it long enough, they'll find out landmark means that we have boundaries. We know the difference between right and wrong. And Lord willing, based on God's will and the strength He gives us, we try to follow those boundaries. We try to heed them. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31, verse 11, says, "An angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, are ream-straighted, speckled, and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return into the land of thy kindred." God told Jacob to go back to where it all started. Go back to where you'll receive blessing, to the land that I gave you. Go back to where, he says, where thou vowedest a vow unto me. That's where you need to go back to. Go back to where it all started. We don't need to keep venturing out further and further. We need to, no matter how far we go, we need to always come back to where it starts. And that is the gospel, the truth, this word. We find in chapter 35, if you go and read that, that he buried all those things that were obtained from the life that they had been living. He buried them. And left him. Left it all. He left it behind and he went back to where he was called to be. This morning, when situations arise, when confusion arises, when different opinions come up, when arguments come up, we need to go back to the source of truth. We don't need to look to the world. Brother Jack, we don't need to look to other people. You say, you might be here this morning and have a question about something. You don't need to look to just me. I don't need to look to other preachers. No doubt the counsel and the mentoring and the advice and experience from other preachers. You think about how the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. It's valuable. No doubt I value that help from a fellow minister. But at the end of the day, we got to look to truth, the Word of God. We got to look to God. We got to look to where it starts, where it all started. Go back to what symbolizes boundary. Let's go back to that landmark. What clarifies between right and wrong? Black and white. Good and bad. The true church is founded on Christ. The true church is a group of called out believers. And it's led by God. Led by His Word. Taught true doctrine. Salvation by grace through faith. It's not of works. I said this the other day, we don't work for salvation, we work because we have salvation. We don't work to get saved, we work because He did save us. Therefore, we need to work for Him, we ought to work for Him. Those are the things that need to be taught. We need to go back to that. If some of those things have been removed, we need to replace them with the same truth based on God's Word. We need to put it back. Don't remove it. Heed it. Pay attention to it. Make sure it's visible. Make sure it stands out. Make sure that it's taught to the next generation. Hey, it's there for a reason. We do this for a reason. I'll leave you with this thought. I know I'm getting long. I had a conversation with my wife. I think it was Wednesday night on the way home, and it was about a certain topic. I'll just go ahead and tell you. We talked about homosexuality and how we're going to explain certain things to our kids. I said they have to know from a young age because it's the world we live in. I've told y'all this before. I didn't know what it meant until I was, you know, I don't know, 9, 10 years old. I didn't really know what it meant. Nowadays, 9, 10 years old and little kids think that they're a different gender already. It needs to be taught. You say they don't need to hear about that. It's disgusting. It's horrible. You're right. It is. It's an abomination. That's what the Word says.
Yep.
It's an abomination. You're right. Say, oh, they don't need to hear that. Their little ears, they don't need to hear that. When they start asking questions, they need to know. That boundary needs to be set. That landmark needs to be visible in that child's life. And we got to teach it to them. It needs to be taught. It is so important. Why are so many things wrong today? Why are so many things being changed today? Because things aren't being taught. Things aren't being passed down like they ought to be. It's necessary. Thou shalt not remove neighbor's landmark. Y'all pray for me this morning. This will be the message.